Welcome to Cat Crazy. I'm Tracy Hochner, and I am crazy about cats and the people who care for them. I'm here every week with answers to your questions about living with your kitty. My number is 888-429-5471. I want to thank my sponsors. I've invited these companies to be here because I believe in them and use them myself. I hope you'll show your appreciation for their support by becoming a customer yourself. And Whole Life Pet will send you a free sample box of freeze-dried protein treats for cats and dogs if you send me your mailing address to radiopetlady@gmail.com. There's a whole week's worth of wonderful live pet shows I co-host on our own Radio Pet Lady Network. Stay tuned for Dr. Sue Ettinger on The Pet Cancer Vet right after this show. Cat Crazy is a production of 8 Paws LLC, which is solely responsible for its content. The number here again is 888-429-5471. That's 888-429-5471. I'd love to hear from you. And so would Dr. Jason, the preventive vet, my wonderful co-host. Welcome back to Cat Crazy, Dr. Jason.
Thanks very much for having me.
And we want to send a giant shout out to the Halo City Tales NYC pop-up shop in New York at the corner of the Roger Smith Hotel, 47th and Lexington. If you are out on the sidewalk hearing this, you got to get inside the pop-up shop, give a donation to the Halo Pet Foundation, get some fabulous swag for it, a T-shirt from the Ellen Show, all kinds of good stuff. I think Dr. Jason has even sent some of his fantastic book, 101 Essential Tips You Need to Raise a Happy, Healthy, Safe Dog, to the shop so that you guys can get this awesome book and do good at the same time for the Halo Pet Foundation. Dr. Jason, that was so groovy of you to do that.
Well, I love it. I love Halo, and I love the crew there and what they're doing, you know, for shelter pets. And it's part of what I'm doing with my book, you know, is giving back. I mean, I'm donating 5% of my book proceeds every 3 months to a different pet charity. So I've kind of got a soft spot in my heart for that. And I think that the crew over there at the Halo pop-up shop is absolutely fantastic. So I was very happy to do it.
It was a definite good marriage, a good mix. Any of you out there that have any questions out there, meaning, well, anywhere in the universe where the World Wide Web reaches, but particularly at the Halo pop-up shop, if you've had a long, hot day in the city and you just popped in to say, what is this cool place? Have a seat, stick around. If you got a dog, let them take a load off too, and feel free to give us a call with any question you have about dogs or cats. It's called Cat Crazy, but Dr. Jason wants to prevent problems in any pet. Our number is 888-429-5471. That's 888-429-5471. We are here, ready, able, and willing to help you with your problems or challenges or issues or questions. It doesn't have to be a problem per se. And you do need to go to my website, radiopetlady.com, and see the special friend of the show, but he's really the special vet of the show, Dr. Jason, the preventive vet. So you can see the 101 Essential Tips book, get it for yourself, or as Dr. Jason said, really good for the grand dog in your life. A lot of people, their grown children either have already had their human children grow up, or they decided they'd rather have four-legged children. Makes a great gift. Everyone's nervous about things that can go wrong, right, Dr. Jason?
And they should be. You know, yeah. Sadly, what I've seen in the ER is that not enough people are aware of, you know, all the things that can go wrong. And so that's the point of the book and the website and all the outreach, is to increase awareness so that we can hope to prevent those that we can prevent and hope to prepare the people for those things that we can't prevent.
Well put. And there will be the 101 essential tips for a happy, healthy, safe kitty before long. I think, just so those of you that don't remember Dr. Jason from other times he's been on Cat Crazy, he is a subspecialist in emergency care of pets. You know, like human doctors can be board certified for the emergency room, and that's what they do. They assess the situation quickly. Their knowledge is, okay, you know, is this life-threatening? Or what the heck is this? How do we deal with whatever it is?
Well, Tracy, I'm not – sorry, I want to point out to your listeners, I'm not actually board certified. because you know, I started my residency but left it to focus on the prevention.
Okay, well,
so
nearly board
certified.
I have a focus. That's a good word. But
I have additional training in emergency and critical care medicine. I would not pretend to be a board certified specialist, but I've got a lot of information from my experience in actually in New York City at the Animal Medical Center where I did my internship and from
See
my
that?
Vet training.
Right in the city, those of you may have actually bumped into him back in the day. Of course, there are doctors in the human ER who aren't necessarily board certified, but their specialty is looking at an emergency when it comes in and seeing if they can help figure out what it is and to keep the emergency from getting worse than what it is. I had an email just shortly before we went on the air that I wanted to share with you because you could be very helpful. This person was a listener of mine when I had Cat Chat for many years on Sirius XM. And here's what Shelley wrote. I wanted to tell you are missed dearly. I found you on Martha Stewart Radio, and now that the channel doesn't exist anymore, I don't get my Cat Chat radio fix each week. Well, Shelley, you can, because here's Cat Crazy. Thank you for all the great common sense and cat sense advice you've provided me and all the listeners over the years. You are so welcome, and I'm continuing to do that. I was on your website trying to see if you had any information on UTIs or crystals in male cats, but couldn't find anything. I will review my cat Bible when I get home. Yes, your cat Bible, says Shelley. I took him off Kitty Crack the first day I heard you on Martha Stewart. Yay. However, he's been busted getting into the dry dog food when the dogs leave some behind. He has a vet appointment in the morning to be treated and hopefully will be better soon. Best of luck to you now and in the future. And that is like the nicest email. But this is certainly something that is near and dear to your heart, both in your practice as an emergency room vet and just, gosh, preventive. Yeah. Here's a cat that he doesn't say whether the cat is blocked or if there's some blood in the urine. But what about, you know, crystals in male cats? Certainly Dr. Elizabeth Hodgkins, who's the official vet of the show, and I feel there's definitely a relationship between feeding dry food and some of these problems with crystals. But Here's a kitty who's off the kitty crack. So did you used to find in the ER such a common reason and a costly one for people bringing their cats into the emergency room? Is this something preventable?
I firmly believe that it is. And it's important to notice because not only is it, you know, expensive, but it can be devastating and quickly devastating. I have a survey up on my website running through SurveyMonkey where it's about urethral obstruction in cats in particular.
Oh, really? Cool.
Yeah, and you can find it on the website.
Say the name of everything. Like, so, the pet, is it thepreventivevet.com?
Yeah, sorry, it's thepreventivevet.com. And right from the homepage, you click on the navigation tab that says Get Involved. And you go down and it's the second tab. It says Pet Owner Feedback Surveys. And then there's a survey on there. There's one about urethral obstruction in cats or urinary obstruction in cats. And then there's one right now about general pet safety awareness and preparedness. I'll be adding more in the future. But this one on urethral obstruction has been running for a while. And to this point, I've had just a little bit over 200 people take it.
Wow.
And
That's a lot.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a great response. I mean, when people see my three-part blog series on urethral obstruction in cats, they love it and they're psyched to contribute and, you know, they learn a ton.
Well, let me just say for Shelley, I hope you got my email in time to be listening. And there's going to be an app very soon for this network and the widget, the player, which will also very soon, we hope, be on thepreventivevet.com, will be another way to listen. But you need to go to thepreventivevet.com and look at Dr. Jason's blog. It's a three-part blog on urethral obstruction. I mean, it's practically a book in itself. So do go on.
In this survey, one of the questions is the type of food the cat was eating at the time of their urethral obstruction. And a full practically 90, almost 98% of the people said that their cat was eating either dry food only or both canned and dried together. And so only 2% of the cats that have blocked were eating canned food exclusively. So, I know that's something that you preach on here, and I'm firmly behind, and it sounds like Shelley's already doing that, which is great.
Yes.
But I think it underscores the importance of making sure that our cats are really well hydrated. And so feeding wet food is a easy way to do that. You know, it's a simple way to do it. But you can also add more water to the wet food. You can add more water sources. So some cats actually don't like to drink from really you know, shallow bowls, or they don't want really narrow bowls, or they want, you know, stainless steel as opposed to glass or whatever. They can be quite finicky, and you want to have them in multiple different areas of the house, and you want to make sure that you're freshening them often. And then you've got the water recirculators, which are great. But then you also have to look at the side of, you know, kind of the other end of it, which is the litter box. And
right.
So the number of litter boxes a person has in their house with their cats can be extremely important. I mean, honestly, the importance of that really can't be overstated. The kind of unwritten rule of thumb is one more litter box than the number of cats you have.
Correct.
So, you know, if you've got three cats, ideally you have four litter boxes. And very importantly, they need to be, and they want to be on, you know, in different locations of the house. You don't want to have them all lined up in the same spot. You don't want to have them in a really drafty area or a high traffic area. You don't want the family dog or the young children to be able to have access to it. All of these things that can stress a cat out will decrease the frequency with which they go to the bathroom and they go to the litter box, or they'll, you know, just go outside of the litter box. And if they're holding their urine for too long, we can see some of the minerals that are normally processed,
right,
you know, as the food passes through, they get in a large enough concentration in the urine that they start to precipitate out and form crystals.
Which is really interesting, and you bring it up really well. Anybody out there, if you're any of those 200 people, join us and tell us what you've learned from Dr. Jason's blog, or if you never heard of his blog and didn't know this was a problem, he's giving some great advice. It's the advice I've been giving, plus adding another level, which is something I've only learned about recently with some of my other great veterinary co-hosts. 888-429-5471, all of you in the Halo pop-up store. Welcome to Cat Crazy. Even if you've got a dog, stick around. There's always something to be learned. What I learned from Dr. Donna Spector, who's the expert vet on Wednesday nights, Dr. Jason, is that people mistakenly are told that their cat has crystals if they're not symptomatic, right? They've just got given a urine sample, and the vet says, well, your cat's got crystals, so it has to be a urinary tract infection, so we're going to treat with antibiotics. When in fact, what Donna pointed out was any pee that sits around forms crystals. And then the thing you just said is something that I never thought to realize. If it sits around in your bladder and you don't void frequently, it will form the crystals there right inside your body. So the frequency of going is, get as much fluid in as you can to give you the feeling of needing to pee or the urgency. But if you don't feel, you the kitty, don't feel comfortable going to a box because there's another cat giving you a dirty look, or maybe the box isn't clean enough, or maybe it's not the kind of substrate, you don't like the feeling of the litter, you might just hold it. Maybe you'll have an out-of-litter box. Maybe you go, never mind, I'll go later. Because we've
an
all had that
out of litter
feeling.
Box experience. I like that.
Yes. So on the other hand, that's almost better than hanging on to it, because we've all had that feeling like, you know, you're in the car and you stop somewhere to pee, but not so much for guys as for girls. And you open the door, you go, it's okay, I'll hold it. This place is gross. And that's kind of the same kind of situation. So I just have a question for you about drinking water, because my understanding is, again, something Dr. Elizabeth and I have talked about for years. And Robin from Covered in Cat Hair is holding. And I know you're there, sweetie, and we can't wait to talk to you. But I just want to finish these kind of preventive issues around cats getting crystals, and then sometimes the crystals blocking them, and then they wind up in the ER or in pain. And it's a really expensive and extremely painful. Painful to our pocketbook, but really painful to the kitty.
Yeah, and can be quickly fatal to cats, too.
Yes,
if they're obstructed.
Because
very quickly
then the pee's in their body and all those toxins, they get shock. I mean, they're dead.
Well, it does. It prevents their heart from functioning properly, and then they die of cardiac arrest.
Whoa. I thought it was toxins built up in their bloodstream.
It is. It's a result of those toxins that they affect the heart muscle, and they prevent it from conducting electricity the way it should. And so they actually get heart arrhythmias, and then they go into cardiac arrest. So
I had no idea that was the chain of events. Well, one of the things she had said was, the cats, she feeds her cats only raw. I, for most 99% of the people here, I just say, please feed a wet or a pouch food, never any dry food, period. And try to get as good a quality as you can. There's a downloadable, printable PDF on my website under links for all the Cat Crazy approved foods, meaning everything from some of the supermarket brands to most of the premium ones. But we've talked about the fact that cats don't naturally drink. Their tongue and their mouth aren't really properly – they really, being desert animals that aren't expecting that cheerful oasis, that they really weren't genetically programmed or wired, if you will, to get their fluids from the body fluids of their prey. So, yeah, watering down the food's really good. But there are some cats who love to play in water or kind of mess around with it, but it's kind of like leading a horse to water, and can you make him drink, isn't it?
It can be, and some cats are certainly more, I guess you could say, stubborn than others. You know, but I think adding it to the food, if they like their food and they've got a healthy appetite, you know, in order to get the food, they're going to take in the moisture. And I'm not saying you've got to make it a stew, you know, or like
right.
a, you know,
a soup, right.
you know, but you can certainly make it a gruel.
yeah, you know, I like that.
With other cats, you can also flavor their water. So, you know, if you, let's say you're having a can of tuna fish at your house and it's in water, well, you drain right. out the water, you put that in, you know, you dilute
Definitely.
It with some more water, fill up an ice cube tray.
Absolutely.
Now, every time, make sure to label it so you're not drinking tuna flavored
in your martini.
Yeah,
tuna
exactly.
tini. Now, a tuna tini could catch on in New York City.
Something. Apple tini, tuna tini.
Yeah.
But, you know, but that's one way you can do, you know, with tuna water. You know, again, play with the type of, you know, water bowls and water sources that they've got. And
Good
also,
point.
Just like the litter boxes, put them in different locations of the house. Maybe put some up on the counter. Maybe put some, you know, right. different rooms. So there's a lots of things. And then the water recirculators, a lot of cats, especially the ones that like to play in the water,
yes.
They tend to love the water recirculators.
And then they wind up drinking some of it.
Exactly. And
well,
really, fine. I mean, the name of the game is getting moisture into them, because not only will it help to prevent a urethral obstruction, it will oftentimes help to prevent crystals. It can help prevent,
right.
you know, eliminating outside of the box, which, yeah, you know, may be better than a urethral obstruction event, but it, you know, urinating outside of the box is sadly probably one of the main reasons why cats
That's
are
right.
relinquished shelters and or euthanized.
That's exactly
so if
right.
we can decrease that, we help tremendously. And it just generally helps to protect the kidneys, because we know that as cats get older, you know, their kidneys start to lose function. And so if we're making sure that they're not dehydrated and therefore their kidneys are, you know, are getting a good workout and we're flushing them routinely, that's all good.
It's a really good point. The other thing that's really a great thing to give them for hydration is that The Honest Kitchen, which is one of our sponsors, has a new product called ProBloom, and they're in packets. And it's dehydrated goat milk, which is very digestible for kitties, with tons of, you know, all the good lactobacillus in it.
Biotics.
But if you put it, yeah, and if you put it in water, it not only is great as a probiotic, which is what it's intended as, but a great hydrator. We need to go to a break. When we get back, we have our wonderful special friend of Cat Crazy, Robin from Covered in Cat Hair, waiting to talk to us. And you too, 888-429-5471. We'll be right back. This show is brought to you by Waruva, a privately owned company that makes pet food in a human food facility, so it's good enough for you to eat. All the flavors of Waruva, Cats in the Kitchen, and their more economical BFF, Best Feline Friend brands, are great for finicky little dogs and choosy cats, especially those who are trying to transition away from dry foods, which Waruva chooses not to make because carbohydrates are inappropriate for an obligate carnivore, and they believe your pussycat deserves to eat as well as you do. This show is supported by the Pheromone products Feel Away for cats and Adaptil for dogs. Pheromones are chemical communicators that are a natural signal of comfort in your pet's brain. Adaptil can help with problems like separation anxiety in dogs, and Feel Away diffusers can reduce problems in a multi-cat household. Veterinary behaviorists often recommend Feel Away and Adaptil as stress relievers to solve behavior problems. Pheromones can help adopted cats and dogs make the adjustment to their new home and comfort young puppies and kittens who've just left their litters. Look for Feel Away and Adaptil at RadioPetLady.com, where you can buy them from Dr. Sean's online store, PetCareNaturally.com. This show is also brought to you by Nordic Naturals for people and their pets. Research shows that even the best diets are deficient in the essential fatty acids found in their omega-3 oils. Nordic Naturals uses sustainably sourced wild fish from healthy stocks with third-party testing to guarantee purity and freshness. Nordic Naturals Omega Pet products bring the same health benefits to the cats and dogs in your family when you add Nordic Naturals omega-3 fish oil to their bowls every day. We are back. You're listening to Cat Crazy. I'm Tracy Hotchner, here with my guest co-host, Dr. Jason, the Preventive Vet. Our number is 888-429-5471, and we'd love to welcome back Robin from a divine blog, coveredincathair.com. Hey, Robin, how are you tonight?
I'm good, Tracy. How are you doing?
We're doing great. How's Freddie's brother?
Barney's doing just swell. But I was just very intrigued by what you were just talking about, because I actually had a cat of $8,000 because he got stuff he didn't know any better about diet.
Wow. Now, just to explain, Dr. Jason, Robin is one of those angels on earth. She has her own cat rescue. One part of it's called Kitten Associates, and yeah. She fosters tons of cats and goes to the ends of the earth for them medically when there's something wrong. And, of course, being a foster rescue, there's always something wrong.
Yeah.
So $8,000, and she can't get pet insurance for them because they're not really her owned pet. She's fostering them, hoping to place them in good homes. This is something, Robin, that's distressing to me, and why I'm so grateful to have Dr. Jason as one of my cohorts, because it is preventable. I mean, maybe there is that 2% of kitties that might get a crystal. But whoever tells every cat owner in the world, certainly 98% of the people that got that obstruction in Dr. Jason's really cool survey that I want to know more about, Jason, because I'd love to write about it.
Yeah.
They were on all dry food. You guys listening, you have to believe me. I had a quite the falling out once having invited a veterinarian to share this space with me on a Monday night. And I thought, well, it's really pretty simple. Just two things. I advocate only dry food, but being a feline, you know, veterinarian, I'm sure you would agree that being obligate carnivores, they just should only eat meat. And never would I support for any reason declawing. There's one vet that said, oh, well, there's occasions for both. But there's some vets that just go, well, dry food's the only way to go. And doesn't that bother you, Jason? I mean, here's Robin taking in cats and winding up with big problems that are all preventable.
Yeah, I think that there are definitely, you know, there are definitely some conditions that are can be prevented and or minimized by feeding, you know, a canned diet. I mean, especially in cats, I think, you know, canned diet, high protein, low carbohydrate, you know, as the cat dad to, you know, a cat who sadly is no longer with us, but who had diabetes and came out of, you know, went into remission with his diabetes when he was switched onto a better diet.
And of course, you being a veterinarian were taught in vet school and in your internship to feed dry food. I mean,
when I was at the Animal Medical Center, the internal medicine specialists there were kind of the ones that first really got me going the high protein, low carbohydrate canned diet for diabetes and for obesity. You know, and I've seen it time and again in the vet clinic where, you know, you get them over onto a high protein, low carb canned diet. And they start shedding weight, but shedding weight at an appropriate and a safe rate. And I've gotten cats into remission with their diabetes on a high protein, low carb canned diet where they've actually stopped needing their insulin. Now that's not medical advice for people out there to just all of a sudden switch their cat and take them off the insulin. Obviously they need to work with their vet on that. But my own cat did it after about a year and a half on insulin. When I finally got him over to a better diet and could use the insulin appropriately, he stopped needing his insulin.
Well, it doesn't surprise me a bit after 8 years of having a cat-centric show, but I will tell you, your cat would never have had diabetes had he ever not been on dry food. I mean, that's something that Dr. Elizabeth has sort of dedicated the second half of her life to as a feline specialist. The disturbing fact that obesity and diabetes in the cat come only from feeding highly processed carbs to an obligate carnivore. There is no way for a cat to get type 2 diabetes except for through the wrong diet.
Yeah, and so, that was, I mean, I'm kind of innocent here in that my cat went up to 22 pounds when he was with my mom when I was over in vet school in England because I couldn't bring him over. I love my mom for taking him on while I was gone, but he got bullied by the other two cats and he turned to food.
Isn't that interesting?
And he was 22 pounds. Super. I mean, amazing cat. And my mom did a great job, you know, with him.
But that's not her fault. She didn't know any better either.
No.
I mean, Robin, how many vets that you go to with any of your foster kitties, how many of them understand how bad kitty crack is? Or do you just avoid the topic?
Well, I'm usually on the down low, but when we do talk about it, one of my vets, and I've known for 15 years, he and I still butt heads about it. But I will tell you that I was the one that got him to change his mind, at least regarding diabetes, which you were just talking about. And he will tell his patients that if their cat does become diabetic, put them off dry and put them on a grain-free canned food. And at least we won a battle with that. But I'm very lucky. I have two other people to work with that do not advocate dry food at all.
Wow, that's fabulous.
One is very pro-raw. He wants everybody to feed their animals a raw diet, which we do here. And, you know, he's wonderful for that. And kudos to him, actually, for taking that step.
That's like the old, when I used to write books on pregnancy and childbirth, there was a pediatrician in Beverly Hills who was considered totally radical because he wouldn't take a woman or he wouldn't take on a child whose mother wouldn't breastfeed for at least 6 months. He was like crazy fanatic about it. He wasn't wrong in his like the medical advice, but of course there just aren't that many women that are going to breastfeed for 6 months. So it's the same thing. Not everyone's going to feed raw food. You're lucky if you can get them to feed canned. Right. But it always is impressive when a medical practitioner takes a very strong stand that's not the party line in their field, and it costs them, but they just have these strong beliefs, you know. Well, that's really, I mean, do you have any water fountains, Robin, like Dr. Jason was mentioning? I know a lot of people swear by them.
Yeah, what was the question?
Do you have any of those water fountains, the circulating?
Oh, you know, we do. I did have one, and unfortunately, my cats loved it so much.
It made a mess, didn't it?
Totally floored. So I had to take it away. But what we do is we just make sure that the food does have a little bit of water in it. And in fact, I actually know that there's something wrong with my cats if I see them drinking water. Even though they get fresh bottled water every single day, we've got one cat with a kidney problem, and we know to expect him to drink water, and we see him doing that, and that's fine. But if we see the other cats drinking a lot of water, for us, it's a sign that they may have a health issue.
That's interesting.
Because they're getting so much in their food.
Yeah, when you're
that's
feeding an
really
all-wet diet. Yeah, it is.
Crucial and really impressive, especially for someone with so many cats.
That's right.
You know, I always tell people, like, you have to know what's normal for your pet. You know, your cat, your dog, you have to know what's normal, and that only comes from paying attention to what they're doing with their eliminations, with their thirst, with their appetite, their energy, because only once you know what's normal do you recognize what's abnormal. And then the next step is, of course, following up on abnormal and finding out why. So that's very impressive, Robin. That's great.
Telling you, every time Robin calls, it's something that's uplifting or interesting or confirming. It's true. You're great, Robin. Thank you for calling in. We love having you here. Have a great night, sweetie. Kiss all those kitties for us. Did you have a question, by the way?
I always do have a question. If you want a question, I've got one.
Yes, of course.
For Dr. Jason, I actually was at the vet today with another foster cat named Bongo. And the reason why I brought him in is because his resting respiration was very, very fast. And even after a very short time playing, I caught him panting. Now, granted, it's been very warm here, but it was unusual. So I brought him in, and we started doing some diagnostic testing. But I was wondering, you know, what kinds of things you would be looking for in a 2 to 3 year old neutered male cat.
And he's a regular domestic short hair, and
he's some kind of a medium haired mix. He might have a little Maine Coon in him, but I don't.
I mean, if there's any risk for Maine Coon, I mean, it's always in the back of your mind. I mean, cats and panting is typically not a good, you know, it's an indication of something going on. And so, you know, you got to be concerned about the heart, especially if there's any potential for Maine Coon in there, because they've got, you know, cardiac disease predispositions. Certainly it can be environmental. It can be as a result of the heat. But then, you know, we also start thinking about things like, you know, asthma could certainly be one. You know, they can have, you know, respiratory obstruction as well. So, you know, what's really important, is obviously recognizing that what we would call tachypnea, that rapid breathing or dyspnea, where it's difficulty breathing, getting him in to the vet, but also recognizing when it happens, how frequently it happens. You know, there's another one that I think kind of really, in a way, slaps people up the side of the head when it happens, and something that I think, you know, work with your vet, especially if it turns out to be a heart disease, cardiac disease, is cats will develop this thing. It's called ATE, or aortic thromboembolism. And it's typically most common in cats with heart disease, whether it be underlying hyperthyroidism or some other cause for their heart disease. And when the blood isn't flowing through the heart as well as it should, as normally as it should, it tends to form clots. And then if parts of those clots break off and then they travel in the distant arteries and they lodge mm-hmm. somewhere, it usually lodges kind of towards the back part of their body, which is why it's yep. more commonly referred to as saddle thrombus. And so, but these cats will be open mouth breathing. They'll typically be screaming in agony. They'll Whoa. Be hypersalivating, and they very acutely, mm-hmm. they all of a sudden can't use one of or both of their back legs. And so that's something okay. that I would say all cat owners with, you know, cats with heart disease, be aware of that. Because mm-hmm. if you recognize yeah. it is exquisitely painful for cats. The prognosis, sadly, is still very poor. So unfortunately, a lot of those cats don't survive that because euthanasia often is the most humane and appropriate thing to do.
Right.
Obviously, I'm not suggesting that's what's going on with your cat, but I think, you know, you're right to get him in, get that workup done, you know, maybe some chest x-rays, mm-hmm. some preliminary blood work, you know, but yeah. and keep that close eye and see what's going on.
Great advice.
Yeah, we will. We did that today. We did the x-rays and we've done a CBC. We actually also are testing him for heartworm
yep.
because my veterinarian said that 13% of all cats have heartworm. Most people don't even know it.
No. And it can be very subclinical in cats in that, you know, yeah. they'll have, won't really notice anything because cats aren't exactly extreme athletes, most of them,
mm-hmm.
you know, that time yeah. where they all of a sudden play out of the blue and then they are winded. They're brilliant for checking them for heartworm disease because a lot of cats don't think about it. And so as you progress down that workup, you know, if it goes further and you're doing, you know, lavage samples of their lung tissue or anything of that nature, I think certainly screening for heartworm disease and potentially lungworm disease and things of that nature in advance are great.
I will say, okay, Robin, good. That one of the themes on the yeah. show over the past couple of months has been all cats should be on heartworm medication around the year. And this is something that is never, wow. ever brought up. People finally get it about dogs. You shouldn't take any months off. Mm-hmm. But people don't think it about cats. And although the cats don't develop yeah. full-blown disease, because I think, Jason, as it was explained by, I forget who was one of my wonderful vet co-hosts, you need to have a female worm, and if you don't have a female worm in a cat, that doesn't become full-blown disease or something
yeah,
like that.
They don't, so, they don't reproduce, but adult worms can still cause significant
yes.
pathology.
So everybody out wow. there with kitties, get heartworm medication. It is just a great tool to have in your health box. Robin, we got to go to another break. We're thrilled you called. Keep us in the loop about Barney so we know how his little breathing is doing. And keep on listening. And thank you for being such a great special friend. We're going to take a break right now. When we get back, the number is 888-429-5471. All you folks in the Halo pop-up shop at 47th and Lexington, give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Tell us how the pop-up shop is. We'll be right back. Support for this show comes from VaxiCheck. Are you worried about the harmful side effects of over-vaccinating your dog? But is your vet worried whether your dog still has protection from previous vaccinations? VaxiCheck is a new blood titer test done right in your vet's office that shows whether your dog has immunity to the deadly core diseases and needs revaccination or not. VaxiCheck should be used on puppies to confirm whether their puppy shots really worked. Shelters should use VaxiCheck on new arrivals to separate healthy dogs from unprotected ones. VaxiCheck, for your dog's safety and your peace of mind. And VaxiCheck for cats is coming soon. This show is brought to you by Halo Holistic Natural Dog and Cat Foods, which are made from real ingredients you can recognize. Read the ingredients on the label of your own dry dog food. Can you identify what's in there? Halo uses real meat in their kibble, no rendered byproducts, chicken meal, or chemicals. The company emphasizes giving back by making donations to shelters through freekibble.com because Halo believes less fortunate felines and canines deserve great nutrition, too. Halo is a private company, partly owned by Ellen DeGeneres, where they are genuinely dedicated to keeping your pet happy and healthy, inside and out. Precious Cat Litter is privately owned by Dr. Elsie, a feline-only veterinarian whose litters are designed to appeal to kitties and protect their health. His renowned Catatrack litter has a blend of herbs which entice cats into the litter box. Respiratory Relief Litter is low dust for pussycats with asthma, which makes it healthy for people and other pets in the family, too. And there are special litters for long-haired and senior cats as well. Precious Cat donates litter to shelters and rescues across the country. We are back. You're listening to Cat Crazy, Dr. Jason, the preventive vet, and myself, Tracy Hotchner. Delighted to take your calls. Excuse me, 888-429-5471. Dr. Jason is the author of a wonderful book, 101 Essential Tips to Raise a Happy, Healthy, Safe Dog. You can get it online at thepreventive.com. PreventiveVet.com, not the Preventive.vet.com. That would be kind of goofy. And 5% of the proceeds, it is a book that he's published, so he can tell you that he's really giving 5% of the proceeds to different animal charities every quarter. So it's a wonderful book. It's got all kinds of the ideas and things you haven't even thought about that could cost you a lot of money and your pet a lot of pain, and that's no fun at all. Kitty cats and string. This is something that is, you know, going to be really like should be a main chapter of your essential tips for kitty safety, because cats are very curious. We know that. We know that curiosity killed the cat. We know that they like to play with their paws and even with their mouth to things on the ground. And even though we see cats hack and throw up, whether it's hacking up supposedly a hairball or throwing up food, if they get something that's linear, like a piece of string, they cannot throw it up. Can you talk about that a little from the perspective of an emergency room vet?
Definitely, yeah. So we tend to see the end results of linear, for what we call linear foreign bodies. So you're right, like things like strings. It also happens with rubber bands. Big one are balloon ribbons, you know, the curly ribbon that ties balloons.
Oh, yes.
Around the holidays, the trussing string that you use for like turkeys and hams. Dental floss is a big one. So for everyone with cats, you know, I mean, I advocate covered and secured trash cans in every room in the house anyway, but especially with cats in the bathroom, if you're throwing away your dental floss in there and your cat can get to it, you know, that's a high risk for linear foreign body. And so what happens with these objects that they ingest is that, you know, they kind of, they don't intend to swallow it necessarily, but
part of
it starts working its way down their, you know, their esophagus or, you know, into their stomach. And then in the process of trying to get it out, often what happens is that the other end of it winds up getting wrapped around the base of their tongue. So now it's anchored on their tongue, or the whole thing passes down and then it becomes anchored around sort of where the stomach empties out into the intestines. But then the rest of the, you know, the string, the rest of the linear material gets moved along the intestinal tract by the normal rhythmic movements of the intestine trying to get passed out in the stool. And then what you set up with is you've got, you know, an immovable object on one end, an anchor.
Yes.
And then the other part is moving along. So it winds up kind of sawing through their intestine.
Whoa.
And that actually leads to leakage of bowel contents into their, you know, their abdominal cavity. And it sets up what's called peritonitis and septic peritonitis. And that's inflammation. And then they wind up with bacteria in there. And highly debilitating, exquisitely painful for them, and fatal more often than not without treatment.
People don't know in time. They don't realize what's happened, right?
No, exactly. And so, you know, it's got to be on your list of differentials, both as an owner and as a veterinarian. If you've got a cat coming in that's vomiting, especially if it's kind of what we would call acutely. So if all of a sudden it kind of comes on, but then persists. Mm-hmm. You know, so anytime your vet's doing an exam of your cat that's, you know, vomiting, one of the first things we'll do is we will try and look very closely at the back of their tongue. Now, that can be very difficult to do in, you know, some cats in the best of times, but certainly when they're having discomfort, like their tongue is painful because it's got, you know, a linear object wrapped around the end of it, cutting off its blood supply. It can be pretty tricky to get a really good thorough look in the back of a mouth of an awake cat. So sometimes you'll have to sedate them to find it. And then also keep in mind that the anchor can be, you know, with it along the digestive tract. So you're not gonna be able to see it externally. But fortunately on x-rays, you won't often see the linear object. You can sometimes, but there's kind of a pattern that's fairly common amongst linear foreign bodies that we can look at on the x-rays and at least say that our index of suspicion is high enough that there may be a linear foreign body obstruction. So taking that into account with everything else you're finding on physical exam and the history and, you know, their blood and their urine test results would either then prompt you to say, okay, let's, you know, either go right to surgery because we're pretty comfortable that this cat has a linear foreign body obstruction, or maybe let's repeat the x-rays in a couple few hours and see if these little gas bubbles are changing, because if they're not, that indicates stagnation of the intestinal tract and makes it more likely that we've got it, or maybe an ultrasound or something of that nature. But these linear foreign body cats typically wind up in surgery, and they need it, you know, to pull through and survive.
And sometimes they don't survive, Dr. Jason, because if too much time has elapsed, or depending on your even worse luck of where this string-like substance has cut off blood supply, some part of the stomach or intestine could actually become necrotic. It's dead.
Correct. And you know, fortunately, in the hands of a very skilled surgeon, which most of the vets, you know, especially in the emergency rooms are, because we're dealing with it quite often, you know, you can do what's called a resection and anastomosis, which is basically a fancy way of saying that you take out the damaged part of the intestine.
Yes.
And then stitch back the healthier parts. And you can actually take out quite a significant portion of intestine, and a cat will or a dog will do well. They may have, chronic diarrhea problems or other issues, but oftentimes it's necessary to save their life. So, you know, and a lot of cats, you know, sadly, this is one of those cases where a lot of cats don't survive because the owners didn't necessarily have a financial plan or don't, you know, and it's costly. I mean, a linear foreign body surgery in an ER with, you know, the care that's necessary to stabilize them so they're as safe as possible under anesthesia both before and during, and then to maintain them and monitor them appropriately after the surgery, oftentimes you're looking in the range of about sort of, you know, $2,500 to $5,000.
And yet another reason, if you need another reason, to have pet insurance. I mean, there's Robin from the foster that has vets that make special, you know, prices for her and forgive certain bills. But $8,000 for a urethral obstruction, which I'm sure included some surgery. And here you have a string costing $2,500 to $5,000. You can be as careful as you want, but there may be other people in your household not as careful. And, you know, to say, I'd love to try and save my cat's life, but I can't afford it, is a pretty bad and heavy guilt to carry around for the rest of your life, because believe me, you will.
Definitely.
If you had pet insurance, there'll be a deductible, and then if you choose any of the good companies, of which there's a handful of them, my pets happen to have Healthy Paws, but Embrace and Trupanion, there's some Pet Plan, there's some of them are very good companies.
Yeah.
They pay 80% of the bill. Period.
Trupanion actually pays 90.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can opt for 90 in some of the others, depends on how much.
There are some great companies, and people just need to do, you know, they need to do their research and do their due diligence, but pet insurance is saving pets' lives, and it's saving people a lot of emotional distress.
That's
and
right.
Heartache, too.
For the very reason.
Yeah, and it's not, you know, pet insurance isn't what it used to be. It's not your parents' pet insurance anymore.
Yeah.
And so there's some good companies out there.
There really are, and the more that we think about these sort of dramatic things that some can be prevented, but a lot can't, you really need to have this option of say to the doctor, whatever it takes. You know, people will say whatever it takes,
and then they
and
realize
the doctor
what it
says
takes.
Yeah, well, did you mean that $5,000? And
right.
The person thinks, say what? But you know, the blood test costs the same to do for a human as for a dog or a cat, and the same equipment's used, the anesthesia and the CAT scans and the MRIs and the x-rays and the ultrasounds.
Oh, but we're far cheaper than the human
well
side.
Yeah, I mean, but people know how expensive it is for a human. It's the same equipment.
Yeah.
So, you know, it all adds up, to put it mildly. So that's a really important thing to realize, that you really do have to cat-proof your home, and not just when they're a kitten, right?
Correct. And I've actually got, Tracy, that's actually, I'm happy you brought that up, because even though I've not published the cat book yet, people can still get on my website. I've got a downloadable pet-proofing guide.
Really?
Yeah, so if you go to the website, and it's something I've had out for a while, it's due for an update because it's still got links to my old blog, which was on Tumblr. But if you go to my website and on the shop tab, which is the green one, you go down to the second tab and it says pet proofing guide. And that's $4.95 on the website. And then once you purchase it, you'll get an email with a link to download the PDF. It's 36 pages of a room-by-room checklist. To pet-proof your house, both for cats and dogs. And there's stuff on there that, I mean, I showed it to vets before I put it up there just to be like, hey, am I missing anything? Or, you know, is anything on here totally out of whack? And there were vets who were like, I never even thought about that.
Cool. You know? You're the guy that sees Jeopardy down the road and knows to put your brakes on early. You're not the guy that drives up and goes, I wonder why all those lights are up there. And you drive up real fast to see. You know, you're really belt and suspenders, so to speak. I mean, super careful because so many of these problems can be prevented. The name of his website, just in case you missed it, is thepreventivevet.com. And that's where you can find some of these great self-help tools to prevent problems and to understand that there is sort of jeopardy around every corner, but it's manageable. I mean, in the old days, I guess people's children, human children, just used to stick their finger in the socket, and the ones who lived lived. Now you wouldn't think of a house where a baby's going to be born soon. A baby, mind you, an infant that's going to be in a crib for 6 months without every single hook and wire and outlet and socket being and cabinet and drawer. Heavens to Betsy! I mean, there's whole businesses around that. Yeah, well, you got to puppy-proof and kitten-proof your house, too. Dr. Jason has these great quick tips. My books, The Dog Bible and The Cat Bible, have all kinds of these, too. Probably, as the vet said to Dr. Jason, I didn't even think of all the ones he did because he's super focused on this area. But it's a really great gift to give someone when they first get a puppy or a kitten or when they adopt. Sometimes people adopt. I'm sure you've had this happen, Jason, who haven't had a dog since they were kids themselves and they're 50 years old. And they sort of remember what it was like to have a dog.
And a ton has changed as well.
Yes, that's right.
We've learned a lot in the past several years. I mean, aside from the, you know, all the modalities we can use, you mentioned earlier the CT scans, the MR, you know, the MRIs.
That's right.
You know, the ultrasound. I mean, you know, really, we can pretty much do anything in the veterinary field that they can do, you know, on the human side. And for a lot less money too, I might add. But the, you know, also we're learning about new toxins. I mean, it wasn't that long ago that I was a technician down in North Carolina and I would intentionally give my dog frozen grapes because it was, you know, she liked playing with them.
She loved them and it was fun. Yeah. And I used to love to watch my dogs chase rolling grapes.
Yeah. And lo and behold, now for the past, you know, probably now going on about, I don't know, 8, 10 years, something like that, we know that grapes, raisins, and currants can be highly toxic to a select subset of dogs. We don't know what the toxin is.
That's right.
We don't know which dogs are susceptible to it. We just know that it can be devastating because it can cause acute renal failure, which is
It is really ironic, though, that this one thing that so many people used to use for a treat.
Oh, yeah.
Well, turned out to be, I wonder why we all were so drawn to it. Because I guess they're each in a neat little package of grape, right?
Are. Well, it's the same reason, like I've got a, you know, an almost 2-year-old and a 4-year-old daughters at home. And toddlers love grapes and they love raisins. And so this is one of the things that I talk about, you know, often for people, you know, because when you bring a kid into the house, everyone thinks about the safety of the kid and rightly so. But then there's also safety concerns for your pets. And one of the things is, you know, toddlers love grapes and raisins and they love feeding the dog and they love dropping things, but they do it frequently. So at least being aware of that danger such that you can confine your dog while your kid's having their, you know, their box of raisins or their oatmeal raisin cookie or their oatmeal or, you know, whatever it might be. So there are things that we just didn't know about when that person in the scenario you just put forward had their last dog. You know, xylitol, highly, highly toxic to dogs, and it's becoming much more commonplace nowadays because it's good for our teeth, but can be very quickly and very easily devastating for dogs.
So that's fake sweetener in chewing gum and a lot of different candies, right?
And some children's chewable vitamins as well.
Ooh.
So a lot of, and like toothpastes and mouthwashes and things of that nature. So, you know, there's actually a gum out there called Xylitol, which is, you know, they're
that's funny.
Advertising that they, you know, it's sweetened with 100% xylitol, which is, again, I guess great for people, but if your dog gets a hold of that, you know, it's
kind of curtains, as they say. We're going to be right back after this quick break. Our number is 888-429-5471. If you have a prevention question or you're already in a pickle and you want to know how do you get out of it, give Dr. Jason, the preventive vet, a call. That's 888-429-5471. We'll be right back. This show is brought to you by Vectra 3D for Dogs, a safe and effective topical anti-tick and flea treatment that you put on your dog's skin once a month to repel parasites with the newest technology. Vectra 3D creates a shield on your dog's skin that repels ticks and kills them fast and reliably for the entire month, while being safe for the people in your family. Older products do not last the full 30 days and only kill ticks that bite your dog, which can actually transmit the many tick-borne diseases. Vectra for cats and dogs who live where there are no ticks is the anti-flea topical treatment that kills all three life cycles of the flea. Vectra is only available from practicing veterinarians. To learn more and find out how your own vet can get the Vectra products, go to RadioPetLady.com. Support for this show comes from The Honest Kitchen, a family-owned company that makes dehydrated pet foods from 100% human-grade ingredients. Lucy at The Honest Kitchen knows that the least processed foods are the most nutritious and developed her unique foods based on this principle. The Honest Kitchen's all-natural, clean, safe products can assist dogs and cats with chronic health issues like itchy skin, ear infections, and digestive problems, which are often linked to a diet of poor quality or highly processed ingredients. Just add water to the dry mix to create a fresh, warm, healthy meal for your cat or dog. Go to RadioPetLady.com to call The Honest Kitchen for a free consultation about which recipe is right for your pet and to get free samples. And if you want to try that ProBloom, the goat's milk probiotic, you can get $5 off a first-time order of anything you want to order from The Honest Kitchen by putting Dog Talk 5, meaning $5, and never mind that this is cat crazy, just put Dog Talk 5 in the code box at checkout at TheHonestKitchen.com. And that ProBloom is kind of marvelous. And a dog like mine, Scooby-Doo, who's on now 6 weeks of antibiotic, it's really important that I give that to him a couple of hours before or after he gets his antibiotic to try and regrow some of the friendly bacteria in his gut. What is the rule, Dr. Jason, when giving antibiotics and giving some yogurt or some kind of a probiotic? What is the amount of time that should lapse between the two?
You know, it's sadly, there's no hard and fast rule for it.
Okay.
It's still kind of an early or a young science, I guess.
Okay.
But I think it's definitely, wise to do. And then I always like to continue probiotics for several days afterwards. And it's kind of, you semi sort of fudge it. It kind of depends on, what the owners are able to, if it's very inconvenient for them to give, then you just try and do it for at least a good, 3, maybe 4 days after. I typically like to go out at least a week beyond antibiotics. With the probiotics.
But if that's really good advice and something that I've actually often in the past forgotten to continue it afterwards, because there's a whole kind of healing, if you will, process that has to take place in a healthy gut. But while they're on it, you still do recommend giving but from a distance time-wise to when you give the antibiotic, right?
Yeah. I think if you can, the tricky thing is that there are some antibiotics that are best, that need to be given 3 times a day. And then there's others that need to just be given once a day. So obviously it's a little bit easier to space them out if they're once a day. Then if you're giving the antibiotic at night, it's probably a good idea to give the probiotic in the morning. So
right.
At least you're getting that sort of, 12 hours between. But of course, if you're giving an antibiotic every 8 hours, then you've
there aren't enough hours in between.
Correct.
Yeah.
And so at that point, really, I think it becomes a matter of convenience for the owner. Because, sadly, a lot of pets, their antibiotic therapy fails because the antibiotic is either inconvenient for the owner, timing-wise, or it's inconvenient to give. The pet doesn't like it. And so owner compliance is vitally important. So you don't want to make that, more difficult by adding in multiple other things. So it's kind of working with the pet, the owner, and the antibiotic course, type frequency that they're on.
Yeah, I guess it's hard for vets to trust that we're going to give the full dose of antibiotics for the full amount of time, which is so important that it be the full amount of time. And a lot of people cheat on that. The dog or cat feels better or appears better 2 or 3 days later, and you're meant to be on it for 10 days, and people have this crazy idea that's so ass backwards, which is, well, antibiotics are really hard on the system, especially in the stomach, so the animal's feeling better, so that's probably enough, when it's just the opposite. Right.
Yeah, because what's really hard on their system is the bacteria that you're trying to eradicate. And then winding up with an antibiotic resistant strain of that bacteria because you've stopped the antibiotics too soon, or you've incorrectly administered antibiotics when you haven't been to your vet because you have some leftover from before, that leads to antibiotic resistance and more difficult, more expensive, treatments and longer courses.
And then later when you need antibiotics in a life-saving kind of way, you can't get them.
Yeah.
You can get them, but they don't get the bugs. What you've got doesn't do
the
job.
And then you wind up going to potentially more expensive or more difficult, you know, ones that you can no longer give in pill form. You've got to actually learn to do injections at home. So it is really quite important. And that's why a lot of vets, you know, especially in specialty practice, but hopefully more in general practice as well, really need to be, you know, are trying to base antibiotic therapy on cultures so that we know what bug or which bugs we're treating. And then we can use the appropriate antibiotic, to actually eradicate the condition as opposed to kind of guessing in the dark, if you will.
Exactly. That's really good advice. Well, we're very glad that you spent the time with us, and we look forward to talking to you again. Dr. Jason, thanks for your time. Love spending time with you. Have a great evening, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.
You as well, Tracy. Bye.
Take care.